Hey, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we are taking a deep dive into something I think we all kind of want to understand better, how Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you'll be surprised at how much depth there really is to unpack here.
That's right. We're going to be focusing on a lecture by Dr. Daniel Darko.
Okay.
He's a scholar of the Gospel of Luke, and he really dives into chapter 11, where we find what's often called the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
But he goes way beyond just reciting the words.
Yeah, that's what makes this so fascinating. He starts by pointing out that the disciples didn't just randomly ask Jesus for like a prayer formula.
Right.
They'd been watching him, noticing how much time he spent in prayer. You know, they saw it as central to his life.
So it was like, teach us to do what you're doing. That's pretty powerful.
It really is. And Dr. Darko highlights something that might shift your perspective on prayer entirely.
Okay.
Jesus immediately introduces prayer as a direct address to Father.
Oh, wow.
Not some distant deity, but Father.
Okay, we stop right there. That word Father can be loaded for people. Not everyone has a great relationship with their dad, right?
You're absolutely right. And Dr. Darko acknowledges that.
Okay.
He actually points out that the Heavenly Father Jesus is talking about is different from any earthly father, infinitely loving, perfect in every way.
That's a huge relief, honestly.
Yeah.
But it also makes me think about how our experiences can shape our understanding of God.
Exactly. Dr. Darko even points out that the ideal father figure in the ancient Jewish context was someone who devoted their life to the family's well-being, the head of the household provider, protector, all very positive roles.
Interesting.
So we have to be careful not to bring our own baggage to the word father when we approach God.
Now that we understand the cultural background a little bit, let's dive into the actual words of the prayer and what they mean for you.
Okay.
Dr. Darko takes us through each part, and you start to see how relational it all is.
Yeah.
For example, hallowed be your name isn't just a fancy phrase.
It's expressing a deep desire to honor and glorify God. Imagine looking at someone you love and saying, I want everyone to know how incredible you are. It's that kind of heart posture.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And then there's your kingdom come. Not talking about some physical kingdom, right?
No, it's about asking for God's will to be done in our lives and in the world around us.
Okay.
Imagine saying, God, I'm surrendering my plans to yours. I want what you want.
Okay, so I'm already seeing prayer in a whole new light.
Yeah.
It's not just about asking for things. It's about aligning myself with God's will.
Yes.
Then there's the part about daily bread, which seems pretty straightforward.
And yet there's more to it than you might think.
Yeah.
Give us this day. Our daily bread isn't just about food. It's about trusting God to provide everything you need now and in the future.
Wait, really? How so?
The word daily in the Lord's Prayer can also mean for tomorrow or even necessary bread. So think about that. It could be about relying on God, not just for today's needs, but for everything you need to fulfill his purpose for your life.
Whoa, that's powerful. It goes so much deeper than I ever realized.
Yeah.
So it's not just about putting food on the table. It's about trusting God to equip me for everything he's calling me to do.
Exactly. It's a much bigger ask.
Right.
And it requires a deeper level of trust on our part.
That's making me think about the next part of the prayer, the one that always gets me. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Ah, yes. The two-way street of forgiveness.
Yes.
Dr. Darko emphasizes how essential this is for healthy relationships, especially within God's family.
Right.
Think of it like this. We're all imperfect beings kind of stumbling along together.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is crucial.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But isn't it hard to pray that when someone has really hurt you?
Yeah.
How can we truly forgive like that?
That's a question a lot of us wrestle with.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of what Jesus is teaching here. He's not giving us a simple formula. He's inviting us into a process of transformation.
So it's not just about reciting the words, but about letting them change us from the inside out.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's where the power of this prayer really lies.
Yeah.
It's not magic. It's about aligning ourselves with God's heart and letting his grace work in us.
I love that. Okay, so we've talked about addressing God as Father, honoring his name, seeking his will, trusting in his provision.
Yes.
And offering forgiveness.
Right.
What else does the Lord's Prayer cover?
The last part is, lead us not into temptation.
Okay.
A plea for God's guidance and protection.
Right.
But Dr. Darko points out that the Greek word translated as temptation can also mean trial or testing.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about avoiding bad things.
Right,
it's about asking for strength and wisdom to face whatever challenges come our way.
Exactly. It's acknowledging that we need God's help to navigate the complexities of life
right.
and to make wise choices.
That's a relief because, let's be honest, life can throw some curveballs.
Oh, yeah.
But it's reassuring to know we don't have to face them alone.
And that's a key takeaway from Dr. Darko's lecture. He emphasizes that prayer isn't about trying to figure everything out on our own.
Mm-hmm.
It's about inviting God into the messiness of our lives and allowing him to guide us.
This is already so much richer than I expected.
Yeah.
We've gone through each line of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm seeing it in a whole new light.
Yeah.
But Dr. Darko didn't stop there, right?
Right. He actually uses a parable to illustrate a key point about prayer.
Oh, okay.
It's the story of the persistent friend.
Oh, yeah. The one where a guy shows up at his friend's house in the middle of the night needing bread. Imagine showing up at your friend's house in the middle of the night asking for bread. I can't imagine anyone being too happy about that.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko really brings the story to life by describing what an ancient Mediterranean household was like.
Okay.
Everyone's sleeping in one room. There's one door to secure. It's a huge deal to get someone up in the middle of the night.
But the friend keeps knocking and eventually wears the homeowner down.
And that's exactly the point Jesus is making. He's telling us that we should be persistent in our prayers, not giving up easily, even when it feels like we're not getting an answer.
So we're supposed to be like that annoying friend who won't take no for an answer?
Well, maybe not quite that annoying, but the message is clear. Persistence matters.
This whole idea of persistence really makes me wonder,
yeah.
What about those times when it feels like God isn't answering?
Right.
Should we just keep asking indefinitely?
That's a great question, and one that Dr. Darko addresses head on.
Okay.
He emphasizes that. God isn't some kind of cosmic vending machine where you put in a prayer and automatically get what you want.
Okay, that's a good point. It's not about manipulating God or twisting his arm.
Exactly. Persistence in prayer is about staying connected to God, deepening our relationship with him, and aligning our desires with his will. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is no or not yet, and that's okay.
It's like that saying, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Maybe the persistence is about being open to seeing those windows, even when they're not what we initially expected.
I love that. And to really drive home the point that God wants to answer our prayers, Dr. Darko uses a rather memorable analogy. It's the one about the scorpion and the egg.
Oh, yeah. The one where he points out that a crushed scorpion looks like scrambled eggs. I'll admit that's a visual I can't unsee now.
Yeah.
But what's the point of it?
Well, it's shocking, for sure. But it forces us to consider this question. What kind of father would give a scorpion to his child who asks for an egg? Obviously, no loving father would do that.
So it's a way of saying that God as a loving father wants to give us good gifts, not things that will harm us.
Exactly. It's about trusting in God's good intentions, even when we don't understand his ways or his timing.
But let's be honest. It's not always easy to trust like that, especially when life is tough.
You're absolutely right. And that's where Dr. Darko brings it back to the idea of approaching God as a loving father. He says, your father in heaven is not like your father on earth. No loving father on earth could even be compared to what the father in heaven could do and be.
Wow, that's powerful. It's like he's saying, don't project your earthly experiences onto God. He's different.
Exactly. He challenges us to reimagine what a father can be, to open our hearts to the possibility of a perfect love that surpasses anything we've ever known.
So it's not about denying our pain or pretending everything's fine. It's about choosing to believe that God is good, even when things are hard.
And that belief can make all the difference in our prayer lives. When we approach God with that kind of childlike trust, our prayers become less about demanding and more about surrendering.
That makes me think about something you mentioned earlier, the part of the Lord's Prayer where we ask God to lead us not into temptation. You said the Greek word for temptation can also mean trial or testing. That seems especially relevant when we're talking about trusting God in difficult times.
Yeah, absolutely. It's recognizing that life inevitably throws us curveballs. And rather than trying to avoid every challenge, we can ask God for the strength and wisdom to face them head on.
So it's less about escaping difficult situations and more about leaning on God's grace to get through them.
Exactly. And it's not just about enduring trials passively. It's about believing that God can use those experiences to shape us, to refine us, to draw us closer to him.
That's encouraging. It's like those times when you look back and realize, wow, I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't gone through that.
Right. And sometimes those are the moments when we experience God's presence most powerfully. It's in the midst of the struggle, the uncertainty, the pain that we often find ourselves clinging to Him most desperately.
And maybe that's part of what it means to be persistent in prayer, not just asking for things to go away, but asking for God to meet us right where we are in the middle of it all.
Beautifully said. And that brings us to another key insight from Dr. Darko's lecture, one that's unique to Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, you mean the part about the Holy Spirit?
Exactly. Luke adds this line that we don't find in Matthew's account. He says that the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask.
So it's not just about asking for stuff. It's about asking for God's presence and power to work in our lives.
Exactly. And that's a game changer when it comes to prayer. It shifts the focus from our own limitations to God's limitless possibilities.
You know, it's interesting because I've always thought of the Holy Spirit as this mysterious, kind of abstract concept. But Dr. Darko makes it sound so practical, so real.
That's what I love about his approach. He takes these theological ideas and makes them relevant to our everyday lives.
So what does it actually look like to pray for the Holy Spirit? Is it like saying, come Holy Spirit, fill me up?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But Dr. Darko suggests that it's more about recognizing our need for God's help and inviting Him to work in us.
So it's less about me trying to conjure up some spiritual experience and more about surrendering to God's work in me.
Exactly. It's about saying, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. Fill me with your Spirit. Guide me. Empower me.
And what's so amazing is that God promises to answer that prayer.
Right. He longs to pour out His Spirit on us, to equip us, to empower us, to live lives that are pleasing to Him.
This is so powerful. It's like a whole new level of understanding about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about words. It's about relationship. It's not just about asking. It's about surrendering. It's not just about me. It's about God working through me.
Beautifully said. And that's what makes Dr. Darko's lecture so transformative. He challenges us to go beyond the surface level of the Lord's Prayer and to really grapple with its deeper meaning. He invites us to move beyond simply reciting the words and to really live them out.
And he does that by asking a really thought-provoking question at the end of his lecture.
You mean the one where he asks, if you could approach God as a loving Father with complete trust and confidence, what would you ask for? What good gifts are you hoping to receive?
Yes. That question really stopped me on my tracks. It's like, wow, if I could truly grasp the depth of God's love for me and approach Him with that same childlike trust that Jesus modeled, what would change in my prayer life?
It's a powerful invitation to examine our hearts, to identify the things that might be hindering our prayers, and to step into a deeper level of intimacy with God.
It makes me think about all those times when I've held back in prayer because of fear or doubt, or maybe even a sense of unworthiness. Like, who am I to ask God for this?
And that's exactly the kind of thinking that Dr. Darko wants to challenge. He reminds us that we are God's beloved children created in His image, and He delights in hearing from us.
So it's not about earning God's favor or proving ourselves worthy. It's about embracing the love that's already there freely, given no strings attached.
Exactly. And when we grasp that truth, it changes everything. We can approach God with boldness, with confidence, knowing that He hears us and cares for us deeply.
This whole deep dive has been about so much more than just understanding the words of a prayer. It's about understanding the heart of God and deepening our relationship with Him.
And it's about recognizing that prayer is not just a religious duty or a formula to follow. It's an invitation to connect with the living God, to experience His love, and to allow Him to work in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with this one lingering question for you listening. If we could truly grasp the depth of God's love for us, and approach Him with that same childlike trust that Jesus modeled, what would change in our prayer lives? What amazing things might He do in and through us?
It's a question worth pondering, and I think the answers might just surprise us.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic to explore. Until then, keep seeking, keep knocking, and keep trusting in the goodness of our Heavenly Father.